Kino zu Hause, der DocFest München Podcast. Filmgespräche des Internationalen Dokumentarfilmfestivals München.
Welcome to the 38th DocFest München, our second dual festival edition from wherever you are watching or listening. My name is Malte Borgmann and I will be talking to Davide Ferrario, the director of the film Umberto Eco, A Library of the World. We are very happy that we have that lovely movie in our program this year as a part of our section Doc Panorama. It's nominated for our Audience Award as well. For information on how to vote, please visit our website. And now I want to welcome the director of Umberto Eco, A Library of the World, Davide Ferrario. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thank you to you and hello to München.
Mr. Ferrario, my first question would have been if you are a collector of books yourself, but I see that question is pretty much answered.
Well, yeah, I do like books, not as a big collector as Umberto Eco, of course, but I have to say that when I worked on the movie, I found out that I had to translate some of the things that he was saying in English, so I had to check the Italian version of it, and I had most of the books that he was referring to in his Yale conference, the one that goes on with the long list of titles. So, well, I was satisfied.
But you didn't have to leave a flat because the house would have collapsed under the weight of your books yet?
Not really, nothing like that.
What was your first contact with the work of Umberto Eco?
Well, you know, in Italy, Umberto Eco is, before being known as an author of a very famous book and like The Name of the Rose, he has been an intellectual who always took part in the debate, political and social debate of Italy. So he's always been there. I think he wrote a book in the 70s on how to write a thesis. I mean, how to write a PhD. And I used that as a student. So I mean, that was the first connection, I think. And then finally, I got to know him in person in 2015. And that was when the Art Biennale in Venice commissioned a video installation that I was to make about memory. And the core of it was an interview, more a conversation than an interview with Umberto Eco. It's actually, that's where most of, there's one interview that comes up quite often in the movie that was the conversation that we had back then. And after we worked for a couple of days on that, he asked me if I wanted to see his library, just like that. And I said, of course, yes. I was very honored to do that. And he opened the door, and basically it happened as in the beginning of the movie. I just followed him through these long corridors, and when I thought I had seen the library was still to come. And after that, I mean, I was, of course, very flattered, and I thanked him, but I am a director, so there was a crew back in the other room, and I said, look, let's do it for the camera. Can you please do it for the camera? And that's how we got that sequence, which is, I think, it's very nice. It's a man in his world of books. And in a way, it's also sad because 1 year later, Umberto Eco died. And that was the sequence. Those images were used by a lot of TVs in the world because they were telling, in fact, the relationship of that man with his books in a very cinematic way. And that was it. And then the movie really happened when I was still in touch with the family, and in the years after Eco's death, the family decided to donate the books to the Italian state. And so they started talking about, let's do something about that. Let's film the books before they go away from the house in Milan. And that was just the beginning. But then I thought, I mean, how can you do something about Umberto Eco without being in some way, I mean, you have to try something. I mean, the demand was so big that you cannot be just satisfied showing the books. So the idea came to make a movie which was starting from the books, would tell more about Umberto Eco and his thoughts and his importance as an intellectual and a writer. And that's how it came.
You already mentioned the library as a starting point of the documentary, and the parallels, I think, don't stop there. I mean, a library is about organizing huge amounts of information and huge amounts of material. And I'd say in terms of structure, your film is like a library as well. There's such an overwhelming amount of material and information in it. So much different footage and thoughts and images connecting and reconnecting. It must have been a huge amount of work to put this all together. Can you tell us a bit about the process and how long it took?
I think the movie was, from the moment we started till the end of it, was about 18 months, one year and a half. Of course, we didn't work all the time on that, but I think we shot about 3 or 4 weeks, not in a row. There were thoughts that were coming and going. Oh, of course, the main thing was the developing of a relationship with the Eco family, which of course was already there in the beginning, because they asked me to make the movie and I accepted with pleasure. But you know, at the beginning, the idea was to ask for very important friends of Eco's, like Claudio Magris or other big intellectuals, to talk about the books and the library. And I thought, my God, this is going to be very boring. I mean, with the utmost respect for the people, but intellectuals talking about books, you know. I always felt that you needed a personal approach. So that's why, finally, I convinced the Eco family, which is, they were the persons who were using that space, not only as a library, but as the living place, to be there. They are the ones who took, take us around and tell us stories about the library. And then, you know, things develop one after the other. The good thing about documentary is that you don't have a screenplay, you don't have to, you know, be tied to a certain idea. You develop a feeling, you develop stories. And like at the end, the idea of the little girl skating through the library, which I wanted to finish the movie with a tender note. I mean, not a big thing. The library is a live thing, and I wanted to show that in a very friendly and human way. And when I came up with this idea, I asked her mother, Carlotta, Umberto's daughter, and do you think, I don't mean to be disrespectful, I just want to do something which honors the library. She says, oh, no problem, Anita does that all the time, skating around the library like that. And usually she hurts herself because she bumps into the books. So again, there, I mean, it's a good thing about movies. Movies apparently are fictionals, but they're close to reality, because when you come up with an idea, you think it's fiction, it's actually the real thing.
Right in the beginning of the film, there's this quote by Eco where he says something in the vein of, we need to remember the past to be able to have a future. And your film also draws many connections from history to our present day, to modern media, to digital information, to conspiracy theories, modern conspiracy theories. Was it always clear to you, was it always your intention to make a film that's also a commentary on today?
I have to say, this is something that came out watching all the interviews and conferences by Eco. I was amazed. I mean, I knew the guy. Eco was a bright mind. But I was amazed to find out that what he was saying like 15, 20 years ago about the internet and about our contemporary society, it was in a kind of way prophetic. He knew things were coming. And those were the things that we are living now, these days. Like the problem with the internet, it's not the internet in itself. It's about the fact that there are no filters anymore. Mm-hmm. You can get all the information in the world, and the information is not experienced. It's just, you know, facts that come to you. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference with the past, because in the past, facts were always tied to learning them or experiencing them. Now anybody can say that the Earth is flat, and it's okay. It's an opinion. You've got another 100 people agreeing with you, and it's a fact. It's what Donald Trump called the alternate fact, or the alternate truth. But if there's not one truth that can be shared, we've got a problem. And that's what exactly what Eco foresaw a long time ago.
Maybe one last question from me before I let the audience come into the play. It's funny that you mentioned it. The first time you met Eco was when you did a video installation on memory, because remembering is also such a big theme in your film. I'd like to know, how do you personally remember Umberto Eco? What comes to your mind when you think of him?
Well, I really enjoyed those 2 days that we were together. I may be wrong, of course. I tend to be maybe sentimental, but I think we got something that we found out that we had in common while we were working. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked me to show me his library. There was something else there. And my regret is that he died 1 year later, and we didn't have time to do something else together, because it's funny, but Eco didn't trust movies that much. Even if he was so interested in codes, languages, and movies, it's a language. It's about reality and fiction, as it was his interest. He never really liked movies. He told me that he didn't like the way they made The Name of the Rose. So I think it was a good movie, the one with Sean Connery, because he resented the fact that the monks had faces. He always said that, he wanted to imagine those faces, and the fact that Sean Connery was Sean Connery and all the other actors had a face, basically they took something away from his imagination. So he didn't like his stories to become movies. But I think that most of his writings could have been turned into a movie if you find the right key. And I have to say, we developed a few discussions, but then it got really very ill, and that was the end of it. So, but in a way, I think this movie is like paying a debt to his memory.
The cinema is full, so I'm pretty sure there will be some questions in the audience. Who's gonna go first? Are there any questions? Come on, guys. I told Mr. Ferrario our audiences are not that shy, because he said someone with a question. Did we already answer all your questions? Yes. We've got a microphone.
Hi. Thank you for this beautiful movie. My question is, how did you choose the libraries that you show in the film? Because of course there's plenty of beautiful libraries in the world. How do you choose those?
Okay. First I have to say that I wanted to show other libraries other than Umberto Eco's, I think, because his point was not about his library, but library as a concept, as memory of the world, as he says. So I always thought, let's go around the world and see other libraries which are interesting both because they are archived, because they keep books, but they're interesting as places and locations. Libraries are great places, are great locations for filming. Well, I have to say, the first thing, unfortunately, it's about money. It's about the libraries that we could film that were not too far from Italy. We have very nice libraries in Italy, of course, basically old libraries. And we took a tour around Central Europe, basically. And then we ventured, the last ones that you see are in Mexico and China. Of course, there are other beautiful libraries in the world that we might have shot, but didn't have the possibility to do it, of course, depending on the budget. But I think the variety of libraries that you see in the movie is interesting, because you see old libraries, but you want, you mean, maybe, I wonder, always wonder, who's going to take that book is over there that probably has been there for like centuries. Like it's like two centuries and nobody touches that book in the upper shelves. But on the other end, there are these beautiful modern libraries. The Stuttgart Library is wonderful. The Mexico City Library, I think it's incredible. It feels like a Borges designed that library with all those metal cubes open. And finally, the China Library, Tianjin Library, it doesn't even look like a library. It looks like a skyrocket or something like that. So I wanted to show libraries, the concept of library is not just about keeping books in a dark place.
Any other questions? Okay, then I have a last question. What's with the amusement park that Umberto Eco's widow is talking about in the beginning of the film? Does this amusement park have any special significance?
No, it's about in Milan, there is actually an amusement park close to where they live. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, of course, it was a big affair, the funeral, very a big ceremony, very, not really very institutional, but of course it couldn't be, there were politicians, there were people from the government, blah, blah, blah. But Renate, the widow, really felt the warmth of the people in those kind of instances, like the amusement park, they didn't have any reason. Mm-hmm. Nobody asked them to stop working for that day, but they felt they had to do it out of respect for Umberto Eco. And so that thing that she kept, she still has it. We didn't make it. I mean, she was there, she took it out. And also because she wanted to say, when I started asking her, let's show the funeral, I said, no, it's going to be too sentimental, too pathetic, blah, blah, blah. Of course, she's German, so you might know she's, you know, kind of a tough woman. But then I told her, well, she told me that story and another couple of stories actually about, they were very ironical about the funeral that made you kind of laugh, and like the ones about the fact that she couldn't get into the funeral of Umberto. So I said, let's use that kind of feeling to tune in with the audience. They know that this movie will try to be as ironic as Umberto Eco was and his family is.
Mr. Ferrari, thank you so much. A round of applause, please.
I cannot see you, but I say hello.
Have a nice evening. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Ciao.
Thank you for watching and listening. Please visit our homepage. You can vote for our audience award. You can see most of the films of our program until the 21st of May there. And you can also subscribe to our newsletter there. See you around. Don't forget the audience award. And thank you so much. Have a nice evening.